Luke chapter 12. Many times in reading the scripture, I like to take a little word. No doubt some of the things that I have, I'm not strange to those here, but to my own heart, they really bring blessing. But nevertheless, Luke 12 and verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, he that shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. James chapter 5. Verse 7. Be ye patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive it, till he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I was thinking in these things that we had before us today in the meeting of the practical walk of a believer, and how good it is to have those things brought before us and in such a way that we can understand them, that we can walk in the truth that we receive from the scriptures. And here the Lord Jesus, in talking to his little flock in verse 32 of chapter 12, he says to them, fear not, little flock, because it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well now, if we realize that it was the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, how much more it is to lay hold of those other things that are connected with the kingdom when we walk in this wilderness scene here below. And you know, when the Lord was talking to the disciples, particularly in the 12th chapter of Luke's gospel, no doubt you're familiar with the contents of the chapter, he was told them not to be afraid. And isn't that some of the things that we need to know as we are left here in this scene? Not to be afraid. Not to be afraid to speak a little word here or there for the Lord Jesus. You know, in the same chapter we read that the Lord said, if I shall confess me before men, I will confess thee before the angels in the heavens. And isn't that wonderful to know that if we confess the name of Jesus, just say that name Jesus, that he confesses us before angels in heaven. Isn't that something? You know, my mind, as small as it is, if I could only realize what it was or what it is to confess the name of the Lord Jesus to those whom I come in contact with, that the Lord confesses my name before those thousands and thousands of angels. Only because I have used that precious name upon my lips. Not, it hasn't been too long ago that I took that blessed name in cursing and swearing and everything that was contrary to God's mind. But you know, I told that to a man one time and he was giving me the gospel and telling me I ought to be saved. He said, in spite of all of that, the Lord loves you still. Isn't that something? In spite of all those things that I did and done in my life, the Lord loves me still. Can I understand it? Blessing to my soul. But to my intellect, I can't understand it. So we see here that it's the Father's good pleasure to give us a kingdom. And as we walk here in this scene below, we had in the book of Ephesians, the things that we should do, and the things that we shouldn't do, and how we should be in subjection to the Lord, and how wives should be in subjection to their husbands, and how we should be in kingdom and all those things. And as we learn those things from the Word of God, we can look unto Him for that power to walk according to the things that we have in Ephesians. Isn't that so? We can look unto Him and realize what He is and what He's been through for you and I in this scene here below. We can rejoice to know that in the soon coming day, we shall be, not only shall we be with Him, but we shall be like Him, never go out of His presence. And I think that was one of the things that really touched my heart in connection with me trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, to know that I was going to be like Him and I was going to be with Him. I didn't know how, but I was satisfied because of the work of the cross. I have a place with Him in the glory. Isn't that something? Me, a hell of a very sinner. And likewise, you here sitting here today, we've all had different experiences and probably could make a book that we'd all write them down. But me personally, God so loved me that He sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for me. Isn't that really something to rejoice about? I thought the other Lord's Day, it almost brought me to tears. We're sitting around the Lord's table, and here was folks here from this country whom I've never seen, never knew, and here I was breaking bread, remembering the Lord in His death for me. I mean, that's something to me, you see. And I thought as I was sitting there, how much the Lord loved me. Then I said, well, how much did He really love me? All I have to do is by faith look back at the cross of Calvary. If I want to know how much the Lord loved me, all I have to do is look back. And how good it is that I can express a measure of love to Him in the breaking of the bread. He said, this do in remembrance of me. Well, now what can I show the Lord that I love Him? Only to be in a place of obedience each first day of the week. Well, now here the Lord was encouraging His little flock as they went along to be strong and to realize the opposition that they come in contact with every day. You know where I work? I work in a, Brother Lee mentioned about a shipyard, and I work in a shipyard that's 10,000 men. And in that shipyard, and you begin to talk about the things of the Lord, that you carry your Bible at lunchtime, or sit down and eat your sandwich and look at the Bible, and think you're crazy. You get all kind of opposition. And you ought to hear what they tell you sometimes, and the things that you say. But how good it is to say that Christ Jesus died that I might have life. And you know, I went to see a sister here not too long ago, and she was suffering. And you know, she told me after we had a little word there, and she loved the Lord. She said, I never knew anybody suffering any more than I suffered. I said, something happened to the Lord. She said, I'll say no more. Because His suffering and His death on the cross, we can't even explain it. Because God shut it in. And that was that voice that pierced the gloom. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There was darkness all around me, you see. Only that voice from heaven that pierced that gloom, that we can realize and appreciate the work that Christ has done on the cross of Calvary for hell deserving sinners such as us sitting here. Well, now Revelation chapter 3, just a little thought on that. In Revelation chapter 3, to the church of Philadelphia, now I'm quite sure that we're not of the church of Philadelphia. I'm speaking about dispensational wise. And we're living in an age of Laodicea, and there's coldness on every hand. And you can walk up to a man on the street or somebody you come in contact with or associate with and say, are you saved? So I go to church in Sunday school. That's not what I ask you. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And they don't know. I said, I don't know. And of course that gives you an opportunity to sit down and talk about these precious things. But here, the thought I had in mind in Revelation chapter 3, that here we can manifest the Philadelphia character. We realize we're not Philadelphia age because we're living at the end of the age, waiting for the Lord's soon coming. But we can manifest the Philadelphia character like we have in verse 8 of the chapter that I read. I know thy works. Behold, I set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. Not Pentecostal strength, but we have a little strength. And have kept my word and not denied my name. Isn't that something? That has to do with the testimony here. Now the Lord has given us all those precious promises. We read that He's made unto us in Corinthians. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He's given us all those things as the table spread. Well, how can we make them ours in a practical way? Isn't that what we had in Ephesians? That we can lay hold of them with the Lord in view, and we can make them our very own. You know, the apostle says to Timothy, lay hold of eternal life. Did he already have eternal life? He sure did. But in a practical way, he was to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ had died on the cross of Calvary, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and in a practical way, we can enjoy having eternal life. You know, many people, no doubt, have eternal life, but they don't like to talk about it, you see, because they haven't been instructed. They haven't kept his word. They have denied his name in many aspects. And how good it is we, as simple believers, can walk in a scene marked by righteous living and all those things, that we can walk simply before the Lord with an eye before him of his soon coming again. You know, I think of Hebrews 12 that we read that the Lord that says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Well, you know, I thought about that and read it one day. I said, what was the joy that was set before him? Now, I know that he didn't despise the cross. He despised the shame. But what was the joy that was set before him? Wasn't it the thought of having a people for his namesake? Wasn't it the thought of having you and I in the glory with himself because of the work of the cross? Well, now, here we can manifest that Philadelphia character, realizing that we have little strength, and lay hold of it as we walk in the sin of his rejection while we are left here for this little while. You know, we have no lease on life. We have no lease on life. Sooner or later, we have to do with God. And how good it is that we, in this scene, can bow the knee to him, knowing that he saved us and he's given us a place with himself. Now, just a little thought on the Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 37, I'll read that again. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. That's the only thing left for all believers. The only thing left for the world is judgment. The wrath of God is upon the whole world. But it's being held back. It hasn't been executed yet. Because you and I, as believers, the church of God, are still left here. And we know in a little while, he that will come, shall come, and will not tarry. Now, in bringing those things together, in those words, we have a little flock, and we're certainly not a big flock, a little flock, little strength, and a little while. And how good it is to know that that little while can even be right now. And it's our prayer and our desire as the people of God, having been saved by grace divine, can say, like we read in the last of the book of Revelation, come, Lord Jesus, come. James chapter 5. Verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren. Isn't that a word for you and me? It's a word for me, anyway. Be patient. Don't be occupied with other things. That's where the scoffers are, the mockers are. They say, in Peter we read, Peter's epistle, where is the promise of his coming? I was talking to a man on his job the other day, and I told him that I was looking for the Lord to come. I hope he came right now. He said, well, I've heard that for years. He said, I said, well, you're a marvelous, you're a mocker that we read about in the epistle of Peter. But we, as the Lord's people, can be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Now, verse 8. Be you also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a wonderful blessing to know that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh? And you know, I was thinking about this brother that he spoke a while ago. He spoke on the word together. And of course, I'm not going to turn to it, but I think of that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it says, we shall be caught together with the Lord. But you know that last verse, I like to emphasize that last verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. And if the coming of the Lord is a comfort to your heart, you better take a count. Well, I know that every believer who has looked just a little bit into the Word of God knows that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And we read in 1 John that, beloved, now we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Now, little flock, little strength, little while, and soon the Lord shall come to call his redeemed to himself, and we can say, like we mentioned before, as we read in the last chapter of Revelation, even so, come Lord Jesus, come. Amen.